Psalm is one as the center of attention today. The purpose of the sermon today is to challenge us to obediently follow the path of blessing described in Psalm 1 and rely on God and Jesus as our guide. So the challenge is to obediently follow the path of blessing. So dear congregation and visitors, or one can say dear children of God, who came here today for an adventure? I'm fairly sure not many, if any. No surprises, please, is usually our motto. An adventure is defined as an exciting or very unusual experience. Could coming to this worship service be an adventure for you? I hope so. I'm sure with the long list of visiting worship leaders in the pulpit over the last few weeks, and a few weeks to come, we never know exactly what to expect. And the worship service could be an adventure to both the worship leader and to the people in the congregation. According to Oprah Winfrey, the biggest adventure you can take is to live life of your dreams. Or life is an adventure, it's not a package tour, according to Eckhart Tolle. And then there's George Foreman. He said, I get up every morning looking for an adventure. I'm sure I do not want to get in George Foreman's way as he's looking for adventure every day. So we see people dreaming, taking life as it comes, and even those looking for excitement as part of their lives. And what about all those great adventure books that you have read or are available to read, like Moby Dick by Herman Melville? Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson, or Call of the Wild by Jack London. I also remember reading White Fang, also by Jack London. Great adventure books enjoyed by many. And what about Homer's great epic book? It's over just about 3,000 years old and still enjoyed. These books constantly throw adventure in your way. Some of the adventures in life are a choice of the road you traveled or which you are traveling. Part of life keeps asking, which path shall I take? Which road shall I follow? The choices you make along the way determine how life happens and how it concludes. There are good roads and bad roads. One could say life concludes in either hell or heaven. That is a life principle, isn't it? Choices have consequences. It is a spiritual life principle also. It's the lesson taught in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 opens the book of Psalms by asking us a question. Which path will you follow? When I read it for some reason, into my head popped, Which Way Are You Going, Billy? By the Poppy Family. I'm sure some of you know it. The first couple of lines go, Which way are you going, Billy? Can I go too? Which way are you going, Billy? Can I go with you? I'm sure from the rest of the song that I personally do not want to go with Billy. But more seriously, though, will you follow the Psalms and the rest of the Bible as your life's adventure guide? Will you follow the Lord and His Word and live in fellowship with Him? Or will you walk on that other path that leads to devastation and destruction? It's the path walking in the way of sinners. Which path did you choose or will you choose? Let us first look at the way of life and blessing. This psalm starts by describing this way first. Blessing here does not mean or have a Canadian or Western definition. Blessing here does not mean a house, a car or two, able to do vacation trips, have some kids, maybe a couple of grandchildren, that perfect job, or being able to enjoy sports or leisure over the weekend, and the list can go on. When this psalm talks about blessing, it's using the biblical definition. It means wholeness, harmony, joy, and peace with God and with others. It's something much, very much more profound. First, the way of life and blessing is described negatively, something we are not used to. The blessed man does not walk, sit, or stand with the wicked. This is not the usual way we describe things. The passage says in verse 1, Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The path and lifestyle of the blessed man is not with those who are distant from God, The way of the wicked is tempting and alluring. It can be very appealing. It's a way of pleasure and sometimes acceptance with and of others. But the blessed man does not order his life by this way. That person also does not stand in the way of sinners. To stand is something very different from walking. When walking, one is moving, but to stand is to place oneself in or on a path. It, to me, implies to stop and to be involved. The blessed man or person does not become comfortable or part of the sinner's way of life. That person also does not sit in the seat of mockers. When you sit with sinners, it means that you make yourself fully at home, or perhaps one could say, comfortable with a corrupt or immoral lifestyle. The blessed person avoids this. He or she will not follow that progression into sin. By resisting even those first steps, the devil does not even get a foothold. Positively, we read in verse 2, "He delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." He is a person who finds joy in God's law and knows God's law has answers for life, for marriage, for those that are not married, for work, for speech, for raising children, for worry, for anger, and for how to handle temptation. There is delight in the law by meditating on it, really, really reflecting on it. The law or God's word is studied, and one keeps thinking about it until it sinks deep into one's heart and becomes part of you. It reminds me of those new Christians that are really converted, as there is very little need to follow up on them as they are devouring the Bible's message. It's more likely with these people that we are very unlikely to keep up with them as they read and they study and apply God's law. Such a person puts the hand to the plow and does not look back. Think of Luke 8, verse 52. Think about meditating as trying to learn something new. And I was thinking of quilting. We've got a few quilters in our congregation. Quilting is the process of sewing two or more fabrics together to make a thicker padded material. The whole process of creating a quilt or quilted garment involves much learning from books and others, experienced people, and includes steps such as designing and piecing and applique and binding. And one has to learn these rocking and straight and running stitching. A person who works at quilting is termed a quilter. But unless you read the books, or nowadays you could YouTube and begin to practice doing what it says and shows, you'll forget it. And you will not be a quilter, but you will be a quitter. You need to practice and to produce a product. So it is with God's word. You need to reflect and to rethink about it, what you're reading, and putting it into practice. The blessed man does this with God's law and his word. How can you meditate on God's word? Ask yourself these questions as you read God's given word. What's this passage saying about God? What's it saying about Jesus? What is it saying to me or to you? What is it saying about how I should live or not live? All of these descriptions of the blessed person lead us to this picture. He is like a tree planted by the streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Wherever he goes, he prospers. The image is one of flourishing life. The blessed man is like a well-watered tree. He bears regular fruit. That person has leaves that are green and fresh. Whatever he does, prospers. And just to remind you, we are not talking about financial prosperity here. In our minds, we probably picture incorrectly an orchard that is loaded with fruit, apples, peaches, cherries, and pears, as to what the blessed man is like. This person does bear fruit for God, but not the fruit that we eat, but the Spirit's fruit. People like that bear love. They bear joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know people like that? Their lives are attractive, and so we should strive for that. We must be clear. Psalm 1 is not a recipe to a recession-proof retirement package or a cancer or cholesterol-free life. The prosperity described in Psalm 1 is not health and wealth worship and gospel that we so often are exposed to nowadays. Believers can expect hardship. We only have to consider our congregational prayers today and the past weeks to observe some of those hardships. Reading some of the other Psalms, we know that Christians suffer. Take Psalm 3, verse 1 as an example. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? There is trouble in the Christian's life, but the Psalms also point out that there's deep blessing and prosperity. That well-known Psalm 23, for instance, promises that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear, because the Lord is with us. When the Lord is our shepherd, God promises that we will lack nothing. The law of the Lord makes us wise. There is a blessing of unity with others in Christ. Those blessings are the kind of prosperity described in Psalm 1. Would you like to have that life? Isn't that how you would like your life to be defined? But we also need to look at the way of the wicked. There's a second way of life described in this psalm. It's completely opposite from the first. If the first path of living is a way of life and blessing for those who delight in God's word and walk with him, the second path is the way of wrong living. The gap between the third and fourth verses in this psalm describes the extreme contrast between these two ways of life. Verse 3 and 4 say that whatever the blessed man does prospers, but not so the wicked. It's an abrupt and blunt statement, isn't it? There's nothing nice about it. It's definitive and straightforward and to the point. Those who follow the path of the wicked will not prosper, while those who walk in God's way are like fresh, luscious, vibrant, and fruit-bearing trees. The wicked are like chaff. Chaff is the leftover part of the grain. It's the stalk, the skin, and of the kernel. It's the stuff that's part of the kernel that we do not eat. It's the throwaway part of the grain. How does chaff get separated from the kernel? In the olden days, you threw it up in the air, and the chaff and the grain separated. Nowadays, we use combines. If you've ever watched a combine in action, you'll see the dust and the debris left behind in the field under a dirty, dusty cloud as the grain is being harvested. This psalm says that's what the wicked are, like chaff. That's what the concluding verse regarding the path of the wicked says. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Jesus taught in Matthew 13 that the judgment day is like harvest. The chaff will be blown away with the wind. The wicked will be dismissed. Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," a path not to be followed. Finally, all of this leads us to see that there's a parting of the ways as these two different ways diverge. There are only two ways to live. There are not three ways, and there's not a fourth way. We either are living or following one path or the other. The summary of the entire psalm spells it out. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Verse 6. That's all there is. There's a finality in that statement, isn't there? These are the two ends of life. There's no but at the end of that verse. The but so often quoted today, but that person lived a good life, so that person should be okay. The psalm doesn't end saying the way of the wicked will perish, but the psalm ends with a period. This verse is written like a final chapter of a book. Remember what we read today in Matthew 19. Just then the man came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." That man chose not to follow that path. The important question that the psalm asks, which path will you or I walk on? It's a picture that Jesus presented in the Gospels. He taught in Matthew 7 during the Sermon on the Mount, that there are two kinds of builders in life. and only two kinds of trees bearing fruit, either good trees or bad trees. But he also taught that there are only two gates and ways to live in life. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus is asking, just as this psalmist asks, which path will you choose? Perhaps you hear God tugging at your heart and challenging you to stop walking on a path that is distant or directing you away from God. Perhaps you're feeling God drawing you closer today towards this more fruitful, abundant life that comes from running away from sin and delighting in what God says. How can you have this life? The answer is to trust Jesus and ask for forgiveness. We need to know strongly that the church cannot and should not declare that Jesus would solve all your problems or that Jesus provides happiness beyond belief when presenting the gospel message. The gospel message cannot ignore the whole issue of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and the command to repent if you want to follow the path of life with Jesus. You need a Savior who can save you from your sins and set you free to respond with obedience to God. Jesus is that Savior. I believe this is even more of a challenge for those who already know God. Which path will you walk on? Will you walk closely to God in fellowship with Him according to His Word, or will you choose the path of sin? This is not a one-time choice. It is daily, hourly, and sometimes even minute by minute. We have to repeatedly say no to sin. Jesus, by His Word, is calling you to live for God and not for sin or for yourself. How can you be that blessed child, that woman, that man, that family of Psalm 1? By relying and trusting in Jesus. Let Him be your righteousness. Make Him your hope. May He be your joy and delight. May your response to God's saving power in Jesus be that you will not walk in the ways of the wicked, but instead delight in God's law and His promises. Remember this and read the gospel good news again to see how often Jesus taught and incorporated the law in His teachings. As we close, perhaps this song, this well-known hymn, says it well. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy or to be blessed in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Amen and amen.